The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. This morning we'll be reading Revelation chapter 7. If you want to follow along in a Bible from the back of the pew, you can turn to page 1031. Revelation 7:1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who'd been given power to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful you're with us. Periodically throughout this year, we want to set our eyes on what God's Word has to say about global missions. We have a God of the nations, and we want to consider what is the role that the Lord wants us to play in that global purpose that he has. And so we're going to be in Revelation chapter 7 because we want to get a look at the finish line, at the goal, at the end of it all. Because in many ways, if we can understand the purpose of something, if we can understand the end goal, if we can understand the why, it gives us a sense of the what it's to look like for us to engage in the process. This past week, you remember we had that, at least in Independence, we had that downpour. And it was this reminder that I have downspouts that are clogged because there's just a waterfall, you know, that's going over. So one of them I can get to with the ladder that I have. It happens to be on my deck, which is quite high. And so I'm up there trying to dig out the the downspout. put in the hose, and of course, the hose got stuck. So then I'm up there on the ladder, yanking and pulling on the hose. Don't worry, this story ends well, I'm here. But at that moment, what I wanted to do was grab a tool, and that tool happened to be a hammer, to just destroy the gutter, because that's where I was at mentally, right? But the purpose of the hammer would not accomplish that job in the right kind of way, not in the way that didn't require much more work down line. And so I had to get the screwdriver, take out that downspout so that I could get the garden hose out. Understanding the purpose of those tools helps me to know how they should be used. And that's about all I know about tools. That's the extent of my knowledge. But knowing the end, knowing the goal, knowing the purpose, knowing the why, gives us a framework to understand our place in the story, in God's story. There's an author, speaker, Simon Sinek. He wrote a book, Start With Why. One of the most famous TED Talks, most viewed TED Talks of all time was on his concept of Start With Why. And the basic concept is this. Businesses, people don't buy from your business because of what you produce. They buy from you because of your why, your purpose, why you exist. And what he wants us to understand is that if we're going to be able to have an organization that thrives, we need to have people who understand why we do what we do. And I think something of that sort is the case for all of us who follow after Jesus. We have to understand something of the goal, something of the purpose, something of the why for which we exist. And that's what we're going to consider this morning. We want to look to God's word, try to understand what is his purpose for our life so that we might see that we all have a role to play in global missions. We all have a role to play in global missions. And so that's what we want to consider. So what we need to understand about the story of the scriptures is that the end goal of the story is all about God. And that's good news for us. The end story, end goal of the scriptures is all about God, and that's good news for you and me, because we have a desperate need. We have a problem in our lives. We were created to know God and to live for God, and yet we do anything but that. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, a teaching tool to help us understand the Christian faith, asks this as their very first question: what is the chief end of man and woman? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the purpose. That's why we exist. That was what Adam and Eve were created for. And the rest of humanity was to live for God, that they might glorify him, might live beyond themselves for his purposes. And yet something has gone tragically wrong as sin enters into the human experience. It keeps us from living for that purpose or that end. It might seem like an odd end for us to live for. Like, is God some sort of narcissist and he just wants our attention focused on him because he just needs that, he craves that? No. Living for God's glory, living for him, walking with him, is for our good. Like, if God is the most valuable thing in the universe, if there is nothing better, there's nothing higher, there's nothing more important than him, then it makes sense that our lives would be wrapped around him, that our attention would be focused on him, that God would be the centerpiece of all of creation and all of our life. And yet sin warps us and causes us to live for ourselves. And so instead of living for something beyond us, something bigger than us, something more magnificent than us, we find ourselves constantly living for ourselves. And so we need a rescue from God. We need him to rescue us from that pursuit of ourselves, that we might once again be freed to live for him. And this is exactly what God has done in and through Christ. God has given us the most valuable possession that he has, his one and only Son, who walked life amongst us, showing us something of what it looks like to live in harmony with God. He shows us what it means to be truly human. You see, to be truly human is not to live for ourselves. That's the intrusion of sin. To be truly human is to have our lives wrapped around the Lord, that we might be freed to live with him and to live for him, to live for the flourishing of others. Jesus shows us a picture, gives us a glimpse of what that pursuit should look like. And so then in Revelation chapter 7, we see where this is all headed. We see the purpose for which God is at work in our world right now. Chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." In this short section, we see the promise made to Abraham fulfilled. I'm not expecting you to remember what we looked at on January 1 of this year, but we looked at God's blessing to the nations that was going to come in and through Abraham. And so what we see here, he said that he was going to bless all the peoples of the earth through Abraham. And now we have this heavenly scene of people from every tribe, tongue, and language gathered around the throne, standing in awe of our God, worshiping him. The promise to Abraham was that he would make his descendants like dust. If you can count the dust, then you could count your descendants. He would make his descendants like the stars in the heaven. If you can count the stars, then you'll be able to count your descendants. He says in chapter 17 of Genesis that he was going to make a multitude out of Abraham. He gives this promise that there would be a multitude of people who would be blessed because of what God would do in and through the line of Abraham. And now we see a fulfillment of that blessing. This fulfillment where now these believers in Jesus stand around the throne of God and the Lamb in white robes, giving this picture of men and women who have now been cleansed because of the work of Christ. Now we can walk in purity before him. We can live with him in his kingdom. But not only that, this is the garment that would describe those who overcome, those who persevere, those who God rescues and helps persevere to the very end are now standing around the throne worshiping Christ with these palm branches. This would have been a reminder of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it should remind us of that Palm Sunday when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, worshiping God for what he has done. That's the scene that we have. And why is this happening? Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Because of what God has done in and through Christ, we will at the end of it all see that our greatest hopes, dreams, and aspirations are fulfilled in the Lord. That he is the centerpiece, rightly, of all of creation and our lives. And that if we want to experience the greatest sense of fulfillment we ever could, it comes by having our lives centered on him and him alone. And so because of what God has done in and through Christ, rescuing men and women like us, we can now enter into his family, rescued to live with God and for God. And so the invitation this morning is to give our lives over to him. Like, if this is what God has done in and through Christ, if he withheld nothing from us, he gave us his best, his one and only Son, what would keep us from trusting him at his word? from placing faith in him, giving our lives over to him. He withholds nothing from us. He gives us everything. Things that we don't deserve, grace and mercy and his kindness and his love. What would keep us from embracing him, from turning from that old way of life where we live for ourselves, and instead embracing him by faith, trusting him at his word, believing that our lives are fulfilled in him and him alone? That's the invitation, to turn from that old way of sin and to embrace Jesus by faith. And the reminder from this passage is that we have been rescued then to play a role. You and I have a part in God's global mission. We all have a role to play in global missions. That's what I want us to consider for a few minutes together. You have a role to play in his story. Like all throughout the New Testament, there is this imagery of God calling his people into his plan and his purposes. This plan and purpose that had been concealed for some time, that had been unknown, that was a mystery, has now been revealed. That God, through Christ, is redeeming men and women to himself. And he invites us to play a role. He starts by, in Romans chapter 10, by showing us that we can be rescued by Christ through faith. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's the invitation to trust in Christ, to believe that he is who he says, and to give yourself over to him, to have your life changed and transformed. How does that happen? It happens because of Christ's work in our place, and by virtue of our faith and trust in him. But the Apostle Paul goes on in just a few short verses later to show us the role we're to play. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 10. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. You see, if you're in Jesus, then you're an ambassador for him. An ambassador lives for another. An ambassador only takes the message of the one whom they represent. And that's precisely the picture we have here. This gospel message about Christ and his redeeming work, it's carried by all those who have trusted in him. And now we play a role in taking that message to others. The Apostle Paul is plainly clear that the way in which people come into the family of God is by believing this message about Jesus. And so he asks these questions. If that's the case, then how are people going to believe unless they hear the message? And how are they going to be able to hear the message unless somebody goes? And so the call on our lives is to live in light of this gospel about Christ. That wherever we live, work, and play, that we would be men and women who are walking as ambassadors for Christ. But also, because of where it's ending, this picture of a worldwide people worshiping our God reminds us that it doesn't end where we live, work, and play. But there is this call to the nations. See, we're all called to play a role in global missions. Not everyone is called to go, but we all have a role to play. And so three that I want to suggest for us. Nothing new, definitely nothing original with me, but I think it's helpful. We can all pray. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus to his disciples says that the harvest is plentiful. The Lord is at work in our world. He is at work in the lives of men and women all around us. He describes that work of God as a work of sowing and harvesting. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so you, as the people of God, disciples of Jesus, call on the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up laborers for that harvest field. You see, you might not be called to go, but every one of us in Christ can pray. We can pray on a regular basis for God's gospel to advance, not only here in our region, but well beyond around the globe. We can pray for specific missionaries. We can pray for specific regions. We can pray for specific work. I mean, we're a part of the Southern Baptist Convention and its International Mission Board, the largest mission sending agency in the world. And we can systematically pray that God would raise up more laborers, soften the hearts, make fertile the soil of a region, that this gospel message would take root and bring about life change. We can all pray. We can all give. In order for the gospel message to go forward, those who are followers of Jesus need to give. We need to give. In the context of this local church, as you give, contribute to the ministry and mission through Life Connection, nearly 15% of everything that we give goes to mission outside of our local church. Regionally, church planning efforts, different things, but a portion of it goes to international missions, international church planting, specific individuals. We're trying to do everything we can to live generously as a church because all of us can pray and all of us can give. This is why our Hope for the City offering, half of everything that we raise goes towards international missions because we want to see the message of the gospel go forward. We can all pray, we can all give, and some, maybe even some in this room, are called to go. Like maybe the Lord is at work in your mind and your heart, giving you a burden for the nations. Some are called to go. Some are called to go long term, to be career, vocational missionaries, to use gifts and talents, to put those to work for God's kingdom purposes around the globe. But it doesn't only have to be vocational. There are other opportunities for us to be able to go in short-term ways. And the world is opening up in all kinds of new and creative ways for God's gospel to go forth. It doesn't have to only be about vocational missionary work through an agency. But in many ways, we're getting back to first century practices and we're seeing all kinds of business as mission raise up. Being able to utilize your gifts and your talents, how God has wired you, the skills that you have to go into areas of the world that you might not be able to go into if you're a vocational missionary. But because of your skills, because of your trade, because of your knowledge, you might be able to go for other down other avenues. There's opportunity at various life stages to be able to go. Maybe as a young person, to be able to go on a 2-year stint with the journeyman, go somewhere overseas in the world for 2 years, giving your life to Christ's kingdom mission. But there's similar opportunities for those who are in retirement years. We're in the same kind of way. You could go be a part of international missions for a 2-year stint. Like we want to be a part of what God is doing, not just here in Independence and Kansas City and our region, but around the globe. Like we want to be people who are praying, who are giving, who are going. In fact, we get to celebrate in just a couple of weeks, one of our own, Taylor Stewart, who has been raising support to head overseas to work with university students at the University of Birmingham. We've been working real hard to get her out of here. Like, we're tired of seeing her. I've told her that almost weekly over the last month or so, doing everything we can to get her out of here. And God has worked in such a way that she's fully funded at this point, and she's going to be able to, she's starting that visa process and is heading off sometime later this summer, Lord willing. Like, we want to be a part of those kinds of stories, doing everything we can to live for Christ's kingdom mission. We can all pray, we can all give, and some of us need to go. And so how do we respond in light of God's kingdom purposes, in light of where this story ends? On the one hand, for those of us in Christ, this should be a moment, this should be a morning where we stand in awe and worship of our God. Salvation came through him. We couldn't pull ourselves up out of that mess. We had to have someone come in and rescue. And that's what God did in Christ. And so as we sing songs of praise, as we respond through the Lord's Supper, this is an opportunity for us to worship, to stand in awe. Like, if you know the Lord, it's because of his work in your life. We should stand in awe of that. But not only that, we should stand in awe of his worldwide ambition. What he is at work doing, drawing men and women to himself from all around the globe, that one day we will stand with a multitude of people from all kinds of nations, tribes, tongues, languages, worshiping our King together because of his work through Christ. This morning should be a reminder to us that we can do more together than we can do on our own. There aren't many in our world who can single-handedly support international missionaries on their own without others. But together, we're able to do something significant as we pray together, as we give together, as we send and go together. Might this be a morning to remind us to look beyond ourselves, beyond our circumstance, beyond what's coming our way this week, and remember that the Lord is at work around our world. Might we be the kinds of people who are looking for opportunities right where we live, work, and play, asking the Lord to work in us that we might have a greater heart for his global missions. Might some of us even start that dangerous, scary prayer of asking the Lord if he wants you to go. Might this be the week that you start asking the Lord, what do you want from me? What role, what part do you want me to play? And as we stand in awe and worship, we're reminded as we take the Lord's Supper that it's because of his life, death, and resurrection. Because his body was broken, his blood was shed, you and I can come into his family by faith. And because his body was broken and his blood was shed, we can take part in his international global mission endeavor. So let's think on him and what he's done for us and in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a role to play in your global mission, that you have rescued and redeemed those of us who are in Christ, that we might be a part of your work. And so work in us now, even in this moment, causing us to see the role that you want us to play. Lord, I ask that this week, as we think upon your work, that it would lead us to pray. I pray that this week it would lead us to set up our lives, organize our lives and our finances in such a way that we can give. And Lord, would you be at work amongst us, raising up men and women who would go. And we ask all this by Jesus' name. Amen.